You are listening to Eastside Radio Podcast.
89.7 FM, Eastside Radio.
Heartbeat, why do you miss when my baby kisses me?
The song is called Heartbeat by Buddy Holly, slightly oldie, but certainly a goodie. And talking about heartbeat, I wonder if you knew that cardiovascular disease accounts for roughly one in four deaths in Australia. In 2022, about 5.2% of Australians, which is around about 1.3 million people, reported having heart, stroke or vascular disease. Similarly, in 2021-22, there were about 148,000 hospitalisations where coronary heart disease was the principal diagnosis. Now, that's a lot of resource consumption, let alone distress on sufferers and, of course, their families. And what we do know is that symptoms, diagnosis and treatment can differ markedly between the sexes. Staggeringly, we're told that women are up to 16% less likely than men to receive life-saving treatment after a heart attack. Professor Clara Chow is one of Australia's leading cardiologists and a pioneer in preventative cardiology. As the director of the Westmead Applied Research Centre and professor of medicine at the University of Sydney, she's led major research into improving heart health and closing gender gaps in cardiac care. Let's have a chat to Professor Chow to understand why women's heart attack symptoms often go unrecognised and what can be done to change that. Professor Clara Chow, welcome to Monday Drive.
Thank you, Alan.
You've done extensive work on improving cardiovascular care, but could you please just set the scene by explaining how men and women differ in terms of the risk of heart disease and heart attack?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Alan. Yes, look, I've focused on preventing cardiovascular disease for my career, but, you know, this particular area is of great interest to me. I mean, the thing that is in common is that both men and women, the leading cause of death in both men and women is cardiovascular disease or heart disease and stroke. And while men seem to be aware of that risk, a lot of women don't seem to be as aware that heart disease is the most likely cause of death or and hospitalisation morbidity amongst women. And maybe one of those things is that women do have different symptoms and present generally differently when they do get heart disease compared to men. Their symptoms are less pronounced, less classic, I suppose. Often when people talk about heart attacks, they talk about crushing chest pain and being hit in the chest. And women don't generally talk about it like that.
Right. So are you saying that the risk factors for heart disease do not differ in men and women, but heart disease, but they simply manifest themselves in different ways?
No, look, some of the risk factors are similar and some of them are different. These are always complex problems. So, you know, things that are common. Of course, smoking is not good for either of us. Having a family history of heart disease puts both men and women at increased risk, and high blood pressure and high cholesterol put both men and women at increased risk. But a woman-specific risk factor might be like, you know, women that during pregnancy developed high blood pressure of pregnancy or gestational diabetes during pregnancy, that's a particular flag that a woman might be at higher risk of cardiovascular disease.
Right.
And obviously men don't have those ones.
Quite.
So there are some similarities and some differences.
Okay. Can you please explain to us what a STEMI is? That's STEMI.
Sure. Yeah, a whole lot of cardiologists would, you know, throw around that term very easily. Hmm. But what it is, it's a type of heart attack that's a very severe heart attack. It is ST elevation myocardial infarction. It actually refers to the pattern on an ECG, on an electrocardiograph, that we see. It's kind of a classic fingerprint type, recognise this type ECG that we, you know, teach our junior doctors. When you see this, this is bad. You need to act quickly. It's an ST elevation myocardial infarction, and this patient needs to get treated urgently.
Right.
That's what a STEMI is.
Right. And the key risk factors for STEMI are the usual culprits that you mentioned, the high blood pressure, high cholesterol, smoking and diabetes, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so what is the difference then between a STEMI heart attack and other types of heart attack?
Yeah, so other hearts of types of heart attack, we call them non-STEMI.
Really, funny about that.
Kind of wording. they have ECG findings that are just not as clear cut, maybe, but usually are recognisable. There are multiple different types of ECG findings. And often your first heart attack is presented as a STEMI, and maybe subsequent heart attacks are less likely to be a STEMI. They're more likely to be non-STEMIs, or they have different ECG findings. But it is referent to the ECG finding. And the underlying cause of the most common type of heart attack is still a blocked coronary blood vessel. And the coronary blood vessel is the blood vessels that supply the muscle wall of the heart.
Right.
There are some unusual types of heart attack, and they are more common in women, some of these unusual types of heart attack. And I don't know if people might have heard of SCAD, which is a specific type of heart attack in women where the insides of the wall of the coronary artery, it's called dissect, so it kind of rips off and it blocks the blood vessel that way. And it can be a cause of heart attack in young women, but it is much less common than the kind of garden variety heart attack.
Right. Heart disease itself seems to have earned itself a bit of a label as a man's disease. And I'm wondering if it is that perception alone which has created a difference in how women approach the avoidance of heart disease risk.
Yeah, it is interesting. There has been a perception that it is more of a man's disease, and maybe part of that, I mean, you know, men do get heart attacks on average at an earlier age than women.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we in some groups, maybe 5 years on average earlier. But no, women and men, both the leading cause of death is heart disease. But maybe that perception has meant that women are less likely to get themselves checked. And that's certainly what the research shows.
Yes, but women tend to have symptoms more such as breathlessness or fatigue rather than the classic chest pain. Is that your observation?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And why is that the case?
Yeah, so I suppose it's an interesting question of how people express symptoms and pain. Mm. It's hard to know why that is the case, but it is the observation that women are more likely to present with breathlessness, fatigue, that, you know, something's not right, but not as severe pain. That's not to say that women don't sometimes present with chest tightness and pain.
Yeah,
they
sure.
do, but they are more likely to present with, I suppose, more subtle symptoms. Maybe they tolerate pain better, I'm not sure.
Well, they definitely
have a difference.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point, because I'm wondering if they do have the same symptoms, they just might not complain. They might not recognise that it is, in fact, a coronary event that they're going through.
Look, I've spoken to women who will come in denial. They'll say, oh, look, you know, I've got chest pain, doctor, but, you know, it can't be my heart, right? Because women don't get heart disease. And I'm going, no.
Yeah,
look, I'm really glad that you've come into the hospital, and you absolutely should have got this checked out.
Mm.
And I've also talked to women who, in retrospect, have said, oh, yeah, I've been getting those episodes of tightness in the chest when I've been running up the stairs or running to do the shopping or dragging the groceries out of the car or whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
And they haven't cottoned on to the fact that it could be their heart.
Yeah. I'm speaking with Professor Clara Chow, who is the Academic Director of the Westmead Applied Research Centre and Professor of Medicine at Sydney University. Clara, A recent study indicated that in a sample of around about 29,500 STEMI patients, women made up, that is to say, over 18 years of age, women made up 29% were generally older, sicker, and more likely to live in disadvantaged areas compared to men. Does that imply to you that the environment has some influence in propensity for heart events?
Yes, absolutely. So I think increasingly we're realising that it is, you know, our chances of getting heart disease is affected by our environment or our context or our community or what we're exposed to. Mm. There's increasing research about pollution and pollutants causing heart disease. There's increasing information to say that stress and those mental health conditions that arise perhaps in certain populations that, you know, have got highly stressful lives are a clear cause of heart disease.
Yeah.
It is more common in those regions. It's also more common in rural areas, cardiovascular disease, which is also important for Australians.
Well, it's interesting to know in terms of the allocation of medical resources too, I would have thought.
Yeah,
City versus country. In one of your recent articles, you said that clinicians might be slower to diagnose STEMI infarctions in women due to outdated perceptions that heart attacks are a male disease, as we just discussed a moment ago, and that can lead to delays in treatment and missing the golden hour where intervention is most effective. Does that indicate to you that our standard of training of clinicians might be slipping, or more particularly, that, dare I say it, that older clinicians are not keeping up to date with the current best practice?
Well, look, I hope to say that, you know, these things are improving, but I think that it's a combination of things that are occurring such that we aren't getting to patients in the golden hour, and that is, you know, patients presenting late, them not being as recognised quickly by, you know, paramedics because maybe they haven't presented with the classic symptoms, maybe that latens the, you know, doing an ECG. And then, yes, the perceptions of the clinical staff that they're less likely to have a heart attack. So, I mean, I think a young woman presenting with chest pain, that's not the first thing that would come to mind in the emergency department, perhaps. But I suppose what we're increasingly saying is that we have to always think of heart disease as a possibility for a presentation of chest pain, regardless of our perception of where it is or isn't more commonly presented. And I'm hoping that increasingly, you know, raising awareness both in clinical staff and in the population will address that.
Yeah, and I wonder in the process of the work that you do, the research work, the teaching and every other part of it, does AI have any part to play? And the reason I ask is because I saw in the paper just as recently as yesterday a report that says that artificial intelligence has provided groundbreaking insights into heart risks, allowing Australian scientists to predict and prevent fatal stroke precursors like AF.
Yeah. Look, I have also been interested in AI applied in cardiovascular disease, and it is helping us read ECGs more quickly and perhaps getting more information out of ECGs. Obviously, I think cardiologists have looked at ECGs every day of their lives for a long time.
That's right.
And often the first doctor that sees the ECG is not a practicing cardiologist for the last 25 years. Mm. So, you know, I think AI does help in those situations where perhaps you haven't got kind of that experience, dare I say it, to make a diagnosis quickly.
Right. And do you think there might be a gender gap in cardiovascular research in the past? In other words, No, go ahead.
I was going to say, it is interesting, actually, that a lot of the clinical trials of cardiovascular treatment, women are hugely underrepresented. It's a standard for, you know, 80% of participants to be men and 20% of participants to be women. It's sort of, you know, kind of the usual thing. And while we say, okay, you know, on absolutes, there are probably less women that are having heart attacks. It's not that much less.
Right.
And because of this, we don't have as much knowledge, I suppose, on how to treat women optimally, you know, women with heart attacks optimally. And so, yes, absolutely. I'd like to encourage women to not, you know, to get involved in heart disease research, because it is actually about, you know, benefiting all women. I mean, you know, people aren't meant to participate in research just to have personal gain, obviously, but for other women, I think we do need more knowledge about heart disease and the treatments that work.
But does what you just said not suggest that there is a statistical reason why there is a difference in the gender assessment of symptoms in women? We started off by saying that women present differently from men, but might that not be simply a statistical aberration as opposed to a fact, evidence-based suggestion?
Well, no, the evidence is on observing that women, you know, present later and don't do as well out of heart attacks. That's clear from the evidence that women don't do as well.
Okay.
The sort of trials I was talking about were trials of drug treatments.
Right.
And it's nice to understand, or I think it's important to understand, whether drug treatments work equally well in men and women. At the moment, we treat men and women with a heart attack in the same manner, I think, as we should, because that's what the majority of evidence is saying at the moment, that, you know, if a man comes with a heart attack or a woman comes with a heart attack, we treat them with equal urgency, you know, angiogram, stenting, and the medication treatments. But there might be some medications that are particularly important in women or particularly important in men. And without enough women participating in research, we can't kind of optimise the treatment pathways for men and women.
So does that mean that the medications for secondary prevention, like statins and beta blockers and things like that, do they work equally well for both sexes?
Look, that's our understanding, that our blood pressure, the common drugs, blood pressure, statins and blood thinning medicines, work equally well in men and women, but there are a lot of other newer treatments that are coming out, including new cholesterol-lowering treatments.
Yep.
It's also an interesting observation that women, older women, are less likely to be compliant to their blood pressure-lowering therapy than men. And we wonder if that's because women have different types of side effects, or women, you know, don't tolerate some of the drugs as well, and maybe they do need to be more specifically developed with women in mind. So, I mean, it is kind of the nuances around how we best treat people. But because so many people have heart disease, I think it is important we learn these things.
Yeah. You've written many, many publications, and you authored a book in 2015 which dealt with dietary modifications post-coronary events. Do you, as opposed to medical treatments, do dietary treatment modifications impact men and women equally, or equally effectively, I should say?
Yeah, so we did do a specific look at some of these things, and from what we could see of the research, we thought that probably that was the case. Certainly dietary interventions helped women and sort of decrease their risk of having a repeat heart attack. But I'm less confident in saying that, because actually there were less trials of dietary interventions in women.
Right.
And I think that was one of the important points we made from some of that earlier research, that women are often quite interested. I certainly find in my practice, women are often interested in understanding how they can improve their diet, but we don't have as much information about that for women than
again. This is a topic that we could talk for hours on, but unfortunately we don't have that luxury. So finally, from your perspective, what do you think needs to change most urgently in the health system to improve the outcomes for women with heart disease? How do we close that gap between male and female outcomes?
Yeah, well, look, I think running public health campaigns and raising awareness like this is still crucial. I think all women are 45 and up, they need to go for a check. They need to go get a heart health check, and you know, breast cancer checks, pap smears, etc. But definitely a heart health check, 45 and up.
Yeah.
I think that we as a health system should make these numbers visible. I think we should know whether men and women are getting checked, not just an overall rate. I think by looking at whether there are differences will kind of encourage us as a health system to also make sure that there's no inequities between men and women. And, yeah, I mean, I also think that obviously the research and the training of our doctors are incredibly important to addressing this as a problem.
Professor Clara Chow from the Faculty of Medicine at the University of Sydney, thank you so much for joining us here today on Monday Drive.
Thanks, Alan.
You have been listening to Eastside Radio Podcast. For selections of more enjoyable content like this, visit our website, eastsidefm.org, and click on Podcast.